Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue and purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. You wanna be real. You wanna be and I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
Be talking about his 20 days in India, and I'll be talking about all the miracles and the souls being saved and all type of unique things he saw down there and how the Lord was touching those folks in India. And it's going to be a mind-blowing night. And we thank you always for coming on the show, Art.
Yeah, thanks.
It'll be awesome. Now, Art, you know, you've been traveling the world quite a bit, and you also minister here in the United States quite a bit. What really got you to go to India?
Well, I mean, for one thing, I know God's called me all over the world. So, you know, it's kind of wherever the door's open, that's where we're going. But we're working on some more films right now. And so Paid in Full was our first one on healing, and now we're working on some others, actually filming three at once. The next one, which is going to come out next year, is called Voice of God. But we went to India filming another one. We went with another evangelist. His name's R.J. Pasquale. The guy's 79 years old and has been serving Jesus for a whole lot of years. And he has a lot of work that he's been doing in India. And I was like, you know what, I want to follow this 79-year-old guy around with a camera and just kind of, you know, show him. He used to be in the mafia. He was like, man, he's got a crazy testimony. And so he's like rough around the edges, but loves Jesus like crazy and is incredibly fruitful in ministry. So we went to film him, but of course, everywhere I go for filming things, I also go to minister because I can't turn that off. And we got to minister there too.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, when you started off on this adventure, did you expect what you ran into?
Well, I mean, in terms of miracles, yeah, I expected that because I expect that everywhere I go. There were a few things that we ran into that I did not expect at all. And I'm sure some of that will come up as I go through the stories tonight. But, yeah, there were some weird experiences and some really great experiences. And it just, you know, that's how it is following the Holy Spirit. You just, you know, go where he leads you, and you're along for the ride.
I know. I was watching the Holy Ghost movie, the very first one that they came out with, and they was actually in India, and they was going through the Hindu temples. And they was singing, but they wasn't singing Jesus. They didn't say Jesus at all.
They always say,
peace be to y'all, peace. I didn't hear Jesus. And I was like, and they was inviting them down through the temples. I was like, that's why they was allowing them in there, because I didn't hear Jesus in there at all. And the very first time I heard that, I watched that movie, I didn't catch it until I was in with a bunch of people who's never heard about the Holy Ghost movie. They're, you know, we're the Bible Belt down here, so they catch everything down here. So they're like, well, we didn't hear Jesus come out of his mouth. And I started listening to it. I was like, I didn't either. And I saw your thing on Facebook where you're talking about how they was down there, and I understood. And it's kind of unique because India is a unique place, and they have their own unique rules.
Yeah. They just this year got a new president there. So it's kind of interesting because James and I, who do all the filming together, we were in India just, I think it was March, April, May, somewhere in there. I think it was April. And we were there for a week filming Chris Michelson and Paul Maurer, who are both missionary evangelists. They came out of working with Daniel Kalenda at Christ for All Nations. Paul was an intern. Chris was his personal assistant. So they know how to do crusades. So we went out there, filmed them doing a big open-air crusade and everything. And then right around that time, actually, I think it was just before that, a new president was elected. And in the months following that, this president has started making things very difficult for the Christians and kind of squashing things. So that's been really hard. And now it's like if you're from another country and you try to do an open-air meeting, they will shut you down really fast, potentially deport you, potentially put your name on a block list so you can't come back. So it's a pretty serious business over there.
That's kind of unique there, man. It's how they would do something.
Not to mention
like
the Christians. Yeah, not to mention the Christians who put on the meeting. They're gonna face all kinds of trouble from the government too. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't care what happens to me, but I also have to think about, you know, I'm flying home, and I'm leaving these people here, and whatever problems I cause, you know, they got to deal with it. So you know, I didn't tread lightly, but it was only because I was working with Christians who weren't afraid to not tread lightly.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's one thing I've always understood about you. There's a lot of evangelists, they go out and they, you know, bunch of crazy miracles happen, and then they leave it up to the pastors at the church to explain everything. And one thing I know about you and your ministry, you don't do that. You explain, you teach what's going on,
yeah,
where it won't be so bad for the pastors in the church to do that. And I understand where you're coming from there.
Hmm.
And that's pretty cool. I actually had it written down to ask you about some of the opposition that you faced when you went to India, and you just went over some of that. One of the other questions I had I was going to like to ask was, how were you able to deal with the different religions and their belief systems?
Yeah, well, on one hand, you know, just talking about Jesus isn't really bad in India. Because to them, you know, to the Hindus at least, Jesus is just another one of many gods. Like, I've got a photo in this one shop by, like, the world's largest Hindu temple, which we took some video of, you know. But we went in this shop there, and they had, like, this statue of Vishnu and a statue of some, you know, other crazy god. And, you know, then there's, like, this wall hanging of Jesus and a picture of Gandhi. It was like, you know, Jesus was just one of many, you know.
Yeah.
So, so you kind of... You know, you can get away with a lot of talking about Jesus, but as soon as you start comparing Jesus to Hindu gods and things, that's when you can get in a lot of trouble. I'm aware of at least one evangelist who was put in prison because of sharing such things. So we definitely knew what we were getting into. But, you know, I got up and preached about the difference between Jesus and the Hindu gods. So, you know,
wow,
we go for it because that's what Jesus paid for, and people need to hear the truth. But it's definitely not the safest thing to do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God for your boldness. Praise
well, thanks.
God.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, it's getting like that. I really believe it's getting like that all over the world right now. It's just not there. It's everywhere like that. And
sure.
It's just signs of the times, man. I mean, things just going on. But on your way through there, you know, now you said you was making a movie. You was creating a movie. You was actually taping there.
Yep.
Is this another like Paving Full, or is it more of a documentary?
Yeah, we're making three more movies similar to Paving Full. The only one that we are talking about publicly is the one that's coming out next year, and that's called Voice of God. And so the same way Paid in Full was, you know, not only showing miracles, but then training and equipping the viewer to also minister healing, this one's going to show people hearing God's voice and then training and equipping the viewer to hear God's voice, to minister prophetically, and those sort of things. So it's going to be a pretty good one. And then the other two, those are coming later, and we'll announce those next year, and they'll be I'm excited. I'm actually more excited about those two than anything we've done so far.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, what type of miracles did y'all see happen down here in India?
Oh my goodness, we saw a lot. I mean, easily over 100 miracles. We did have one meeting where we had 100% results. And let's see, I'm looking at my journal right now. We had, 9 people stood up for salvation in front of everybody. 11 people said they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then for healings, we had someone who had back pain for 4 years, back pain since yesterday, leg pain for 2 months, stomach sickness, pain in the bottom of the foot pain. There was like one or two others and I couldn't write fast enough. And then when I asked, is there anyone left who still needs to be healed? No one responded. So, yay.
Amen.
Jesus does good stuff, yeah. So, we had that one. We had, I'm trying to think. We had hearing loss restored, some improved vision, nothing like, you know, blind eyes opening, which we have seen, but not we didn't see that on this trip. Trying to think what else. Yeah, that's just one miracle after the next. It was a whole lot of crazy fun stories.
That's awesome. One thing about Art Thomas is if you go to his events, It has to be a full-fledged miracle before he actually even encounters it as a miracle. He'll check it, and if it is, he puts it down and puts it as a miracle that's happened in his ministry. And that's one thing that I learned at some of his meetings. He'll say, is that back pain completely gone? You say, no. He said, that's not a miracle then. He said, let's pray again. So he don't go ahead and count that. It's got to be gone, and then he counts it, and it's got to stay
yep.
gone. That's one thing I like about his ministry. He don't want he wants testimonies, not testiponies. So it's
what?
He wants testimonies.
I might use that.
I'm good.
Yeah. So that's one thing that he has. He's got a very trusted ministry, and you can bank on what he's saying that God did do that. And that's one thing. That's why I really support his ministry. But anyway, now on this trip, on the way there, how do these people live in India? Do they live different than us? How's their lifestyle?
Well, you know, it depends on who you're with. Like, you know, the last trip we went on, we were staying in this, like, really shady hotel in the heart of the city. That was, you know, several months ago. And, you know, the guys we were with, they were being smart because they know every hotel you stay at, they'll take your passport and, you know, run copies and give it to the government and everything. And so if the government finds out you're there, they then start scrutinizing and all this. So what happened on that trip was they found a hotel that wasn't going, well, a motel that wasn't going to ask them for their passport info. So, you know, the living conditions that time around were really rough. This time though, because we're traveling with RJ Pasquale, who knows everybody who's anybody in India, and all the people who are like pastors of really big churches, we ended up staying in some pretty nice homes. So we even had Wi-Fi for about a week of our trip. But even still, like, you know, the electricity goes off in the middle of the day. You know, the water isn't always running. There's maybe hot water if the electricity is working and you remembered to turn on the switch to your hot water tank, you know. Having water, you absolutely can't drink any of the water. You can't even brush your teeth with it. In fact, our last trip, James brushed his teeth with the water and got a parasite, and he was messed up for quite a while. So, you know, it's like, I mean, James just like, I don't know, he gets sick on every trip we go on. It's kind of funny if we're, you know, healing ministers. But this time around, James got food poisoning, and it was so bad, they took him to the hospital, which was great because, you know, just a day before this happened, RJ, who we were with, he told us some story about when he got sick in India years ago, and they wanted to take him to the hospital, and he said, I ain't dying in your hospital. You take me to your hospital, you're going to kill me. So James gets sick, and they're taking him to the hospital, and all he can think about is, I'm going to die. So they take him to the hospital, and you know, they check him out, and it turns out it's just food poisoning. They gave him some medicine, said you'll be fine in 12 hours. But while he's there, there was this girl on the hospital bed next to him who she had attempted suicide. And so James is just chatting with her. She drank poison trying to kill herself. And so James counsels her and leads her to Jesus, walks her through a prayer of salvation. Turns out her mom was a Christian, so he even got her plugged into a church. And it happened to be one of the churches that the pastor we were staying with oversaw. So it was like this really crazy God-ordained setup. James was like, man, if the devil's going to give me food poisoning, I'm punching back. So
yeah.
He was pretty excited about how that all turned out.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead, Robert. Well, I was just rejoicing with James. He didn't let sickness stop him from ministering. And being a blessing to someone else, amen. That's
yeah,
great.
Definitely.
What part of India were y'all in? What was the region?
Yeah, we were, this time around, we were in southern India. We actually, I mean, it was a crazy trip. It was from Detroit, Michigan. It was 36 hours of travel, 24 of which were spent actually in the air flying. So it was like Detroit to Paris, Paris to Delhi, Delhi to Chennai, Chennai to Madurai. That was all air flights with layovers in between them each. And then we get to Madurai. We spent like 3 days there. Then we took a night train, middle of the night, you like sleep on the train, all the way back up to Chennai, which is, you know, our last plane stop, and ministered there for a few days. Then we took a day train all through the day. It was like 9 hours long to some other city. I don't even remember the name of it. And preached there, rode in cars a couple hours away. We met the first Christian in the entire region. There was this missionary couple that came out there in, I think it was 1948, something like that, and led this woman and her family to Jesus. And, I mean, this lady faced all kinds of opposition from the villagers and, you know, all the Hindus who lived around her. But she stayed faithful along with her family. And now that whole region, there are thousands of churches down there. That woman has been used in tremendously of the Lord in church planting and things. So it's like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like almost like it's silly for me to share all these crazy stories about what I've done when there's people like actually giving their lives over there and living there. You know, I kind of swoop in, swoop out, and come home with testimonies. But the greatest testimonies are theirs. You know, these missionaries that went over there decades ago, and the fruit is there. They've got Bible colleges, they've got churches, they've got thousands and thousands of house churches and regular churches. It's pretty insane what's going on.
Amen.
It's awesome. That's awesome.
Amen.
The very unique thing is that a lot of these old crusades from back in the 50s and 60s, and you know, a lot of the you know, the God's generals that went over there and was planting churches, and you think they would just, you know, fade out, but no, they're still going strong. They're still, you know, even some that John G. Lake started in Africa and around, they're still there. They're still there, and they're still bearing fruit for. Go ahead, man.
Strangely, Lake didn't actually start most of those churches, as I understand it. He kind of absorbed them, but there is a lot of history going back a long ways in a lot of these countries, just because of people giving their lives for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah. They're still there, and no matter what you do, you don't know what that one person that's at your meeting, you don't know what they're going to do, what the Lord's going to do with them. They might become a minister and start their own church one day. You never know what's going to happen on that. And
actually, there was one
amazing place
where I preached, and it was the first night we preached, and I went through Acts chapter 9 about the conversion of Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, obviously, and as many of us know. And what I was sharing from there is, you know, many of us are waiting until, you know, waiting to go minister to people because we're like, man, I'm nothing like the Apostle Paul. But the hero of Acts chapter 9 wasn't Saul. The hero of Acts 9 was this ordinary disciple named Ananias. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a prophet or a pastor or a teacher, an evangelist. It just says he was a disciple. And while he was praying, the Holy Spirit told him where to go and who to talk to. And he boldly went, even though he knew about this Saul character. And the results were, you know, he led this guy to Jesus. And it turns out he ended up, you know, writing a great portion of the New Testament, spreading the gospel all over the known world. You know, where we were actually, one of the pastors we stayed with, his name's Clarence. And he was also led to the Lord by that missionary couple that I mentioned earlier. And his grandfather was a famous shaman. His dad was a Hindu priest, and he was, you know, growing up to, you know, I didn't understand yet if he was about to become a Hindu priest or if he was one, but basically you've got to be in the top caste system in order to pull that off anyway. So he was, you know, by lineage a priest, kind of like Levites were, you know, and he was led to Jesus, and now he's a pastor, and he's kind of, you know, he's abandoned the caste system to serve Jesus faithfully. So these stories, they're just incredible, the stuff that people have gone through over there.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I recently have been talking with a gentleman who's a pastor in India. I'm not sure what town, what part he's living in, but he's been conversing with me on Hangouts and sending me pictures of some of the works that he's been doing. Maybe you've seen some of this type of stuff. Widows who, in his stories to me, he's saying that if they are elderly, most widow women are just cast out. Their families don't want them, and they're just casting them out. So he's trying to start a feeding. He's actually started a feeding program, and he's trying to get me to help drum up some help for him and stuff. And I've been praying and trying to see what the Lord wants me to do to help him out in this. And he's been working. I've seen some pictures of some women who are coming to Jesus. They're renouncing Hindu and becoming Christian, and he's been sending me pictures of different things, and I'm praying that these are for real. Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm not being hoodwinked.
That's the phony.
That he's really doing that. What do you think?
Yeah.
Do you see any of that kind of stuff?
Well, in terms of what I think, you know, I have run into a lot of folks who are, you know, they run some pretty sharp scams and are even doing legitimate things, actually helping people, but pocketing 90% of the money. So,
Yeah. You
know, it's kind of like it's hard because you see a need and you want to help, but it's kind of like what I've learned and what I tell people is, you know, listen, this is the church is about relationship. The kingdom of God's about relationship. So my first responsibility is to the people right around me. So, you know, I mean, especially with me having a big public face and everything, I get, you know, I have people write me every once in a while saying, hey, I've got this big, crazy need. And I'm like, dude, you live 1500 miles away from me and I've never met you. Why are you asking me and not the church on your corner? You know, like my responsibility is to care for my church and to care for the people in my city. And the church in your city is responsible to care for you. If they're not doing their job, I'm sorry, but unless I come to your city, like, I don't have to bear the burden and the responsibility for that. So
when it
comes to stuff around the world, you know, I tell people I will only send money to people who I've actually met in person and seen with my own eyes what they were doing. You know, that's what we're doing in Uganda. We've got this orphanage project we're working on, but I didn't send the guy a penny until I had lived with him for half a month in the bush. And, you know, traveled around to all the ministry stuff he was doing and ministered alongside him and partnered with him and seen his character. And you know, that's stuff that, you know, Skype and Google Hangouts just can't do. But I mean, there's no reason to cut ties with the guy. Just keep you know, studying him, getting to know him. But just don't make any promises until you have direction from the Lord.
Amen. And on that note, my last correspondence with him, he had asked if I'd come up with any support. And my words to him was, brother, you need to have faith in God to multiply the fish and the bread when you lift them up and pray and break it. And your faith in God will sustain you first. And that was my answer to him. And I said, and as he leads me to others and, you know, just what you just said, that's exactly what I told him.
Yeah.
There'll be a time when I can do something to help you. But right now, I'm praying and believing God for you to be a light shining in darkness, that he'll use you like he used me in those people's lives, you know, since he's sending me these pictures of the things that he says he's doing. So, amen. Thank you for that.
Sure.
That was very encouraging.
Yeah.
And
good.
That's
finally,
awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, amen.
That's awesome. Yeah, back a couple years ago, I was dealing with, I got some friends of mine that's a travel evangelist too, and they go overseas as well as art here. And I had a lot of Pakistanis was sending me things and want me to send them money and stuff, and I actually had one actually on the show here one time, and I actually did some study on them, and I had like two or three that constantly ask you for money and this and that, and I was kind of naive, and I was like, oh yeah, and I never would send none of them any money, and I had this one, he had a PayPal account, And I had a lot of brothers and sisters in the Lord that was really helping this guy. He was really legit. And I just kept on holding on. Then I had him on the show, and he was on a bunch of other shows that I know that does on Blog Talk and stuff. And then one day the Lord told me, said, send him money. I was like, okay, yeah, send him money now. So anyway, I went and donated some money, and I learned that other bunch of other brothers and sisters in the Lord did too. So the Lord guided me to do that. It wasn't something that I just jumped right on. Really, really listening to the Lord, let him guide you where you want to be, because don't go by what they tell you. Go what the Lord tells you to do.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
That's the key.
Amen.
There is some phonies out there, and you got to be careful, especially if you're new to online or you're new to Facebook or whatever.
Yep.
They can take you for a ride, and it's especially if they have your chat, they will chat you 24/7 a day.
Yep, it's true.
Want money, and you got to know who's legit and who's not. And I'm just saying, it's just. You know, open your eyes, let the Lord guide you, and he will. But
yeah.
I'm glad we got on this subject, because I know there's a lot of people probably going through this. And
awesome. You know, we had, speaking of interesting characters overseas, we had this one meeting we went to. This was on the 19th, and basically I was told we were going to meet this guy who's a business owner. So I don't know anything about him, nothing at all. We show up there, and it's like this, we're like taking up this elevator into this big room. And I mean, the office looks like the typical buildings in India. It's nothing fancy, but we walk into this lush office, like his, I meant the building looked normal, but the office itself was like top notch, you know, like, dude, this guy's loaded. Turns out he's some real estate mogul, and he's like known all over India, and he's also a pastor, apparently. So, and he owns his own television station. And so he broadcasts these Christian TV shows. So we're sitting there in his office chatting with him, and he's like got people waiting on him and everything. It was like really weird. And then he looks at me and he goes, "Now you will preach." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Yes, you come downstairs with me." I'm like, "What?" So we go down these stairs and walk into this room of like 200 people. And like there's TV cameras and stuff. And I'm like, "What is going on?" So he like walks me up to the stage and we sit down. And 5 minutes later, I'm preaching.
Wow.
Like, unexpectedly, no message prepared. But while I'm preaching, like I don't see any of this. James does, because he's watching. So James is watching, and the guy's sitting behind me and is like, he's got people waiting on him. Like they're coming up with a towel and patting sweat off his forehead. And one guy brings him a cup of tea. And then as he walks away, the guy like flags him back over, and he comes over and he points and takes the saucer off the top of the teacup, you know, like the guy couldn't do it himself. I was like, man, it's a good thing I didn't see that, because I'd have preached right against it on live TV. But anyhow, that meeting, though, preached about healing ministry. And it was crazy because, like, I mean, I talked about the atonement and everything. Afterward, this pastor told me for the first time he heard it said that when Jesus died, my sin died. Like he had never heard that before. I'm like, what? You know, Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross. That's in the Bible, man. So, like, I could tell there was just I don't know, there's some level of immaturity in a lot of these guys that, you know, you got money, you build a church, and now you've got a following, and it's actually a means to more money. But ended up, you know, ministering to them, having the people minister healing to each other. And, I mean, there was, let me see if I've got it in my notes here. Over 100 people were healed. They raised their hands to say they were healed, and that was like instant. They said they've never seen miracles like that. I had a word of knowledge about a woman in the congregation who had back problems for 10 years, and actually two women came up. Both of them got healed in front of everybody, and then I turned everyone loose on each other, and they all, you know, had 100 miracles happen right away. instantly.
Amen.
So it was pretty awesome seeing the people set free from that kind of a bondage to, you know, I don't know, big church, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's
man.
Awesome.
That is
awesome. Now, all right, I want to ask you, now, we all know you was on the It's Supernatural show not too long ago. How has your ministry moved since then?
Well, and you got to be in the studio audience. That was fun. But,
cool.
Sid Roth's show was a pretty crazy deal. We had, right on the heels of that thing being broadcast, my itinerary filled up. And it's actually at a spot right now where my wife and I were just talking when I got back from India, like, man, we need to cut back on some of this. Like, we're keeping all the speaking engagements we've got, but we're going to start, putting limits on how many I do per month, because it's been too busy. So, I mean, I've been at my home church, I think, 3 or 4 times since that aired in June. So,
wow.
It's been pretty nonstop. Not to mention, 20 days in India, unrelated to the Sid Roth show doesn't help the situation of a busy schedule, but that was planned months in advance. But, we just had tons of phone calls, and we're booked all the way out into we're not taking anything till after April of next year. So it's been pretty great. We've had the same kinds of crazy miracles here in the States. In fact, just this weekend, I was in Manassas, Virginia, which is another speaking engagement I got because they saw me on Sid Roth. But while I was there, we had a couple really crazy miracles. One of them, this lady had lupus, and her hands had broken out in all these sores of some kind, these lumps from the lupus. And after the people ministered to her, her hands looked totally normal. Like, you'd never know anything happened. So I don't know if the lupus is gone, but certainly the symptoms were. And then we had another guy, and I posted the photos on Facebook on my page, but he had 1 foot that was a half size shorter than the other, or smaller, I should say. So we had him stand with his heels against the wall, and I asked him, do you want bigger feet or smaller feet? And he said bigger, so we told the smaller one to grow. And, the carpet was speckled, so, these really fine speckles. So you could see, as his foot slowly grew over 20 minutes, one little speckle over after the next was, like, disappearing under his toe. It was so wild to watch. And, by the time it was after 20 minutes or so, his foot was almost the same length as the bigger one. And the before and after photos are there because the pastor happened to snap a shot before and one after. It was pretty crazy. I mean, so many miracles, so many crazy things have been happening, and it's all Jesus, these are the people of the church ministering to each other, whether they're in India or Africa or America, doesn't matter. God does the same stuff, same Jesus.
Amen. Amen. But you talking about miracles, so I want to share one with you. That night after we left Charlotte and headed home, we live here in Lincolnton, North Carolina. And we were on Highway 321 exiting off at High Shoals Lincolnton exit, and I looked away for a split second to maybe turn the radio down, and when I lifted my eyes back up, there was a man crossing the road on the off-ramp. He looks like he was staggering across the off-ramp. So immediately, I swear, I'm doing 65 miles an hour. And this is just where you just hit your turn the cruise control off and get ready to slow down. My reflex in the name of Jesus, I had to thank him at the end of the road there, that the reflex, it was angelic help. Me from hitting this man.
Wow.
And I mean, I went just around him and never left the road, and went to the stop sign, and this man, he would have been in the air if I had hit him and broken. And just when we got to the end of the road, at the stop sign, I'm getting ready to pull out, shaking up a little bit because of what had just happened. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, look in your mirror. And I looked in my mirror on the door there, the side mirror there, and there was a silhouette of a vehicle sitting underneath the bridge. He said, turn around and go back. So I turned around and I went back, and it was a police officer. So I was able to tell the police officer to go up on the ramp and get this man before he gets hit by someone. And they took off and went to get him, and we were able to come home and go to bed, and I had to be up at 3 o'clock to get ready for worship and then to go to work. So nothing happened. It was such an awesome miracle, and I always journal everything. So that was an awesome entry that I was able to put in my journal that night or the next morning. So praise God. Yeah. He's great.
That's awesome. Amen. That's awesome.
Amen.
Now, Art, now after you went from India, did you go to, where was it, Paris, or where was the other place you went after that?
Well, I mean, Paris was just a layover. We didn't even leave the airport, so it was, you know, another 4 flights back home, got back to Detroit, and then just a couple days later left for Virginia, which is where I just got back from this week. So, I mean, this is all real fresh still. And this coming weekend, where am I going? I think I'm going to be in Texas this weekend, Georgia the following weekend. So it just keeps going. December, I don't have anything lined up right now. So I think I'm going to take the month off.
I might have something for you in April. So there you go. But anyway. It's always amazing to talk to you, Art, because you've always been a friend of the show and all us guys on the show, and it's always amazing to hear what you have going on, because each year I know you do something different when you go overseas. You're always got a different trip, and it's always amazing miracles that happen, and it's always good to hear that, because I was on Facebook, I saw you posting some of these stories about India. I was like, man, I've got to have him on the show about that. I think it's going to be an awesome show right there. So it's always good to have you on here, and just to see what's coming next, you know. And
thanks.
Thank you again, Art. And
I appreciate it.
We'll see you again. We always, we always enjoy your stories. And maybe next time, you'll probably be going somewhere pretty soon. So.
Yep. I got Belgium in January, and I'll be going to I'm gonna go to South America in March. And then an undisclosed location in April over in Asia. So I got all sorts of fun stuff coming.
Wow.
I have a feeling over in Asia you're going to have some amazing things. I've heard a lot of amazing miracles happen over there right now, especially, the mass churches over there. They've got some crazy things going over there, and God's doing amazing things over there. So, that'd be awesome. But, anyway, where are you gonna be next, in case somebody would want to check out one of your events?
Yeah, like I mentioned, it's gonna be in Texas. I think it's something like Magnolia, Texas. Let me see if I can find it here. But it's I think I'm flying into Houston. So, and then it's like somewhere near there. Let's see here. Yeah, Magnolia, Texas, Freedom Fellowship Church, hosted by Christian Restoration Ministries. And then the week after that is going to be Morganton, Georgia. Then January I'm going to Belgium. And then I'm going to be back in Austin, Texas. And then we're going to do this big, like, crazy long trip over the entire month of February, where I'll drive all the way down the eastern states. We're going to have another meeting in Manassas, Virginia at that same church. Go all the way down to Naples, Florida, right on the tip there. So, and we've got stuff lined up. So if someone wants to check out the itinerary, they can just go to go.artthomas.org, go.artthomas.org. And that will be the itinerary. And I keep that very updated. At least at the end of the month, I update things. So,
that's awesome, man. Yeah. just go check out his website and, you know, and see where he's going to be next. And, you know, if he's coming to a city near you, you know, just come out and check his event. You know, you really learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's really in the Word of God. He shows you directly what the Word of God tells you. It ain't just coming out of his mouth or something he learned. He tells you out of the Word of God what it says about healings, about how God moves, and what Jesus says. Not by what the preacher says, but what Jesus says and how it does work. And a lot of times what I know about Art is he knocks down some walls that, you know, that people put up from working. He knocks those walls down where Jesus can come through. And that's one of the main things that all those ministers do. We try to get you to see what the Word of God says and not by what, you know, Pastor John or whoever says, but what the Word of God says. And what the Word of God says works. And you can see his ministry and see all of our ministries and see it does work. So, you know, it's just trusting in the Word and doing what it says, Aunt Art.
Yep.
Just trusting in the Word of God and doing what it says. And it's that simple. But, Art, it's good to have you on here, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you later, Robert.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night.